Can just remind everyone our fill-ins are on the back of the notice sheet if you want to follow along with the sermon. We continue in Philippians 2, and we've been seeing in Philippians 2 that Paul is now at a stage in this letter where he's saying to people, this is how you should behave. This is what the importance of having church relationships is. How we get on or don't with one another is what he's talking about now. Because in the Bible we read about God bringing people from every tribe and every nation, about God giving every single person different gifts, different personalities, ambitions, even with different ideas about the church, each with different and sometimes conflicting about the church, ideas about the church in general, and for queer church in particular, about how it should be run, or how it shouldn't. And the question we've got to look at is, how on earth are we then going to get on? I'm sure some of you have heard this well-known ditty, to live above with those we love, now that will be a glory. To live below with those we know, that's a different story. And that's where sometimes we are, because to be honest, sometimes some Christians are just hard work. And you read passages where you've got to love them and you think, oh, how am I going to do that? And as Paul attacks this sort of thorny problem of how we should be getting on as Christians, he gives us one of the most wonderful descriptions of Jesus, I think, in the whole of the New Testament, Philippians 2. And what I'm trying to do this morning, and I'm not going to succeed totally now that I've got to the end of it, is both to appreciate how great this passage is, but at the same time, see what Paul's saying about our relationships. Because this passage this morning gives a great theological insight into who Jesus is. And when we're sort of marveling about that, it then hits us right between the eyes and says, this is how you've got to behave then. If you're going to take the first bit, you've got to see what this second bit is saying. And it brings us right down to earth with some practical pointers about how we as Christians should behave with one another. This is how Paul starts. In your relationship with others, have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had. Now, we could sort of just stop there. That's massive. In our relationship with others, have the same attitude of mind as Christ Jesus. And that's our first fill-in this morning. To get on with one another, we need the attitude of Jesus. And we're going to be exploring as the sermon goes on what that means, and we'll look at it again, I think, next week. It says Jesus has got to be a model. He's got to be our example. And this is how high Paul is setting the bar. Don't worry about anyone else in the church. Don't worry how they're behaving, good or bad. The bar is the mind of Jesus. In all our relationships, it says, think of Jesus. Remember those bracelets? Anyone old enough for the, what was it, WWJD? What would Jesus do? Oh, I had one, you know. See the number of times you had to hide it. You know, you get in an argument with somebody, you know, what would Jesus do? You know what he'd do. I'm not showing you that. You know? Paul probably sold those. They probably sold them in the market. He was the first. What would Jesus do? That's what they're saying. What would Jesus do? We've got to have the attitude of the mind of Jesus. So what was it? Listen to Philippians 2. Who being in the very nature or in the form of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. We've got to look at this passage and see some of the amazing things that Paul is saying about Jesus. Now, we've got to remember, this is only about 30 years after the death of Jesus. You know. And what I meant to do was to see somebody who had died 30 years ago that was famous, and I forgot to do it. But 30 years ago, who can do the maths for me? What's 30 years ago? Somebody come back with it. 87. Oh, he was before that, was he? No? Oh, why? Same time scale. Even taking John Lennon. They're still writing books about him. They're still talking about him. Did the guy not get out? No. Something happened. Something happened about him. That's the time scale we're looking at. It's not long. And here we've got Paul saying things about Jesus that folk would have remembered. First fill-in, number two, sorry, second fill-in. Before he came to earth, Jesus was God's equal. This is what we've got to see from this passage. And here I'm meaning God the Father. Jesus was equal to God the Father. And what is meant here is Jesus possessed all the divine attributes that we give to God the Father. All the characteristics that he had. And I think we sort of skip this sometimes. If God the Father is all-knowing, so was Jesus before he came down to earth. If God the Father was all-powerful, so was Jesus before he came down to earth. If God the Father is merciful or compassionate, Jesus was to the same degree. And sometimes we forget that. And this is one of the direct claims we get in the scriptures that says that Jesus was and is divine. More than just a good teacher, more than just a good example. Jesus was and is. Jesus is God's. That's what we've got to see. Jesus is God. This is what Paul is saying. Jesus was and he is divine. Jesus is God. One writer put it this way. Jesus possessed inwardly and displayed outwardly the very nature of God. That's why he could say to his disciples, if you'd seen me, you've seen the Father. I've got great sympathy with the disciples. Who would like to see God the Father? Anybody? I think I would. Until you then read about the scary things that folks see and he's in an approach of a light or whatever, or woe is me. You don't meet anyone in the scripture that says, guess what happened to me this week? Saw God. Oh, it's fine. Sat down. Everyone thinks they're going to die when they see God. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. You know, let me see you. You know, I'll hide you in the cleft of a rock. There must be a song about that somewhere. And this is what we're seeing. We know Jesus. We know what God the Father is like. And the other passages in the scripture say exactly the same thing. Remember John's gospel right at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. That's clear. He was God's. He is God's. Writer to the Hebrews puts it this way. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. I like that wee bit at the end. It just keeps everything going. That's who Jesus is. And we've got to see how great Jesus was before the incarnation, because what's going to happen is, we know, he comes down and he makes himself low. Because Paul then goes on to say, this divine Jesus, this Jesus who had the attributes of God the Father, then he changed. He changed who he was. That's fill-in number three. Jesus became a servant made in human likeness. He became a servant made in human likeness. Didn't consider equality with God something to be used. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Now, we've got to get the force of this, because I think sometimes we sort of underestimate this as we rush to the cross. You know, good evangelical Christians, got to get to the cross. I think we've got to stay a wee bit longer in the incarnation to see the price that it cost Jesus in the incarnation. It became one of us, and he could feel and experience as we feel and experience. The limitations of humanity. That's what I was trying to say to the children. We're frightened to even think about that. He had his nappy changed. Can you imagine that? The God of all creation is waiting for somebody to get up during the night and come and feed me. I bet in those days it wasn't like it is today when dads take every second turn. You probably just nudged Mary. You can hear something. The Son of God. You know? I remember in those days when they changed the nappy, it was none of these Velcro things, you know, kite method, one pin. Anyone still do that? Yeah? Yeah, bring my baby, I'll show you. You know, some of them were saying, kite method. What's the, do you fly them? You know? Are you using Terry Towlins? No. Terry's? No. No. You don't know what some of us poor older folk. Remember the nappy sand in the kitchen? It was like, oh yeah, you filled up this bucket. Nappy sand it was called. What a stink came from that bucket. Used to throw them all in. Was it meant to take it off? I don't know what it was meant to do. You know, Ariel now does that for free probably. But you stuck them in there and you filled up this pail with these nappies. And then they went into the twin tub. Oh man. You've never lived, really, you know. Tell you. Jesus changed his very nature so that he could feel what we feel. And that's what we've got to see. Jesus felt hunger. Jesus felt pain. Jesus felt loneliness. Jesus felt abandonment. Jesus felt grief. Jesus felt rejection. Jesus felt humiliation. Jesus felt fear. He knows. And with the exception of being sinful, everything that can be said about a man or a woman, I think, can be said about Jesus. And we've got to see that. And that should be a great encouragement for us. But the reason he did it, and this is filling number four, is Jesus became like us so that we might become like him. Take that in out. Jesus became like us so that we might become like him. And we've got to get that picture of God. If we're saying Jesus is God, Jesus is divine, and he's limited himself coming down in the incarnation, and he feels everything we can feel, we've got to see that. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for our sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. It's a sort of divine exchange. Jesus takes on himself our humanity. We get the power of Jesus. We have a God who knows what it's like to be human. We have a God who knows what it's like to be you or me. We've got to see this. Now, some of the early Christians, they found this just too much to handle. You can't say that about God. God is so big. Our God is a great big God, they were saying. You can't have him coming down here saying he took on human form. Say he sort of just pretended to be humans. That's what they said in the beginning. He put on the coat of humanity. It's okay, he got up to heaven, took the coat off. That's not true. Paul's saying it wasn't like that. He says what happened in the incarnation, he became fully human. And we've got to see that. And if Jesus became human, fully human, the one thing we've got to see today is Jesus knows the problems that we suffer. This is the big thing we've got to see. Jesus knows what it's like. You will never again be alone if you're accepting Jesus. Jesus knows. And he knows it firsthand because he's been there. Jesus knew disappointment. Jesus knew grief. Jesus knew mental anguish. Jesus knew abandonment. Jesus knew what it was like for his friends to desert him. Jesus knew fear. Jesus knew separation from God the Father in a way that we will never know. And Jesus knew death. None of those experiences are new to God. And God didn't just know what they were like because he created humanity. God knew what they were like because he can say, I have been there. And that's the one thing we can say when we are going through suffering or someone else is going through suffering. That's the number one question. We're running Alpha just now. It's come up already. What about suffering? I'm itching to get in there. I've got to hold back to about week six or something ridiculous. It's just causing me pain. Because I want to be able to say, we might not understand about suffering, but the one thing we know God is in there. Your God has been there. Your God has experienced that in Jesus. So God is not aloof from any of our sufferings. And we've got to see that, because so often when we do suffering, we think we're walking this path on our own, or we're thinking that God does not understand. He does. And this is what Philippians 2 is saying. God understands our suffering. And that's why fill-in number 5, I love fill-in number 5, God knows what it's like to be me. Poor God. And that's what you've got to write. You write that for yourself. God knows what it's like to be me. See this? God knows what it's like to be you. God knows what it's like to be me. And God knows it firsthand. And the great thing about that is not only does God know, God can provide a way out of our situations. And I don't just mean salvation. but triumph over things that are bringing us down now. That's what God says he can do. Why? Because I know what it's like. And I want to do all I can, God says, to take you out of that situation. And if I can't take you out of the situation, I will provide grace for you to endure it. And that's what God promises. Another thing we've got to see is, and I had loads of trouble with this one, the idea that Jesus voluntarily became a human being. I don't know when they had the meeting, Father, Son, Holy Spirit up there. And they always had that idea that it was sort of God the Father says, well, this is the way it's going. Holy Spirit was late for the meeting. Jesus, you're going down there. I'm not going down there. Have you seen what they're doing? I know what they get up to. And they're going to get even worse. Somebody's got to go down, not me. Or maybe Jesus wasn't at the meeting. And they said, well, just decide. You know, that's why I attend every meeting. It's dangerous not to go to a meeting. You know, really. You don't go and they say, John, we're so sorry you didn't get to that meeting. Here's what you're going to do. The scriptures tell us Jesus was at that meeting. And Jesus says, I will voluntarily go down there. That's the amazing God we've got. I'm going to go down there. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. That's how far Jesus is prepared to go. He says, I'll go all the way to the cross. That's how far he's going to go for you and how far he's going to go for me. And we've got to see that. Jesus voluntarily said, I'll go. And he humbled himself or emptied himself. What's that song? Emptied himself of all but love. And is it bled or died for Adam's helpless race? And why does Paul drag all this up? Because it's sort of like a sort of weird side here. You know, Philippians 2, you think, is like in brackets. He's got sidetracked. I love it when I get sidetracked. You get all the great stuff. Because what he's saying is, remember, you've got to have the mind of Jesus. In your dealings with one another, I want you to have the mind of Jesus. What's the mind of Jesus? I've just told you. It was in the form of God. He didn't see equality with God, something to be grasped. He humbled himself, took upon himself the nature of servants. That's the mind of Jesus. And how do we respond to that? Well, there are at least going to be two responses. In the TNIV, I don't know if it's in the NIV, there are three therefores. We're going to look at the therefores next week, in case you were thinking you were going to be here till 12:30. But I've got them all ready for next week, because they're going to be brilliant. Because of what Jesus did, therefore, this is what it means for us. And we're going to get both these things together. I'd hoped I would have got them today, I haven't. But we've got this idea of this is who Jesus is. So what? You've got to have that mind of Jesus. How am I going to have that? Here's some practical ways in which you can do it. You know. And if you've got lost on the theology of today and said, I wonder what he was talking about, I will get you next week. Because next week is so practical. So, that's what he does. The theology of who Jesus is, and then relates it directly into our situation and says, this is what we've got to do. Because of what Jesus did, God the Father responds. Therefore, because of what Jesus did, this is how we respond. So, keep yourselves in suspense. Till next week. Amen.